Most of us this morning have on our mind that it's New Year's Day. And so it is. And for those of us who believe, although the world often thinks of New Year's as a very secular holiday, those of us who believe, we come to God's house on New Year's Day saying, Lord, I need your help. There's a year ahead that I don't know what's going to happen in the year ahead, but you do. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful to be able to come to your house and to begin the new year. Last night, we had almost as many people right at midnight. And we were here praising the Lord right at midnight. And so we gather, even though the world thinks of this as a secular day, for us it's also a faith-filled day, a day where I say, Lord, Heavenly Father, I'm going to trust you. And I need your care in the year ahead. Now, today is also designated by the church the Feast of Holy Mary, the Mother of God. Now, that title, Mother of God, although it's a title about Mary, is really more a teaching about who is Jesus Christ. Because, you see, Mary is the Mother of God because Jesus is God. Amen. And she deserves the title on that. Now, some had objected in the early church saying, well, she's the mother of his humanity. She's the mother of the Christ, but she's not the mother of God. But the church fathers got together and said, tisk, tisk. Jesus, we don't divide him up. He's one person, even though he has a divine nature and a human nature. He's one person. Now look, you have a spiritual nature and a physical nature. Are there two of you in there? There's just one of you, right? And it's the same with Jesus. Jesus has a divine nature and also a human nature, but there's only one. Well, there's only one Jesus in there. And so Mary is the mother of God because Jesus is God. It is true, she is not the mother of his divinity. He existed before her in that sense. She's the mother of his humanity, but because there's only one Jesus, we say that she gave birth to the whole Jesus, not just a part of him, and therefore she is the mother of God because Jesus is God. Now on this feast of Blessed Mary under the title Mother of God, we also find a very interesting thing. That the readings are really focused on God the Father. Now, how many of you know that a good mother is going to lead her children to the Heavenly Father? A good mother says to her children, behold your father. And so it is that today on this feast, Mary, like our mother, also leads us to the Heavenly Father. Now, it's interesting the way this is done. And I want you to kind of stick with me. I'm going to make a couple of points, and I think you'll follow, but you got to keep each point in mind. Today is also the eighth day since Jesus' birth. And on the eighth day for every Jewish boy that was born, it was the day to be circumcised. Now, Mary, as a good Jewish mother and a follower of the law, brought her son Jesus to be circumcised. And this was taken care of in the community by those who were trained in this little surgical operation. But try to set the surgery part aside. That's a little unfortunate to think about right now. Let's just say it's not about the physical surgery so much as what is done for every Jewish boy on the eighth day is that he is brought to be circumcised, but even more than that, he is brought to be put into a covenant relationship with the Heavenly Father. In effect, behold your Father in heaven, and he loves you and enters into a covenant with you out of his love for you. So Mary, as a good Jewish mother, brings her son Jesus to, if you will, be entered into this covenant relationship. But wait a minute. Jesus doesn't need a covenant relationship with his Father. He's already got that, amen? However, we do. And this is where I want you to pay attention. Mary doesn't bring Jesus because he needs to enter into a covenant, but because we do. And mystically, on this day, some 2,000 years ago, as Mary brought Jesus, she was also carrying us. You say, how is that, preacher? Listen, we, as Scripture says over and over again, we are members of the body of Christ. All of us, individually, we are made through our baptism a member of the body of Christ. And St. Paul, in about four different places, reminds us of what this really means. He says, first of all, I want you to know something. Have you not read that when you were baptized into Christ Jesus, you were baptized into his death? And by baptism into his death, you were buried with him. And then when he rose, you rose. So listen, to be a member of the body of Christ means this, that when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. What happens to Jesus happens to me because I am a member of the body of Christ. I know it's early, but are you following me? So we're not just members of the body of Christ in some abstract way, but in a very real yet mystical way. Somehow, on that day, 2,000 years ago, you and I were in Christ when Mary brought him in her arms to be circumcised, to be brought into that covenant relationship. So on this day, Mary, our mother, carries us to the Heavenly Father and, if you will, presents us for a covenant relationship. Are you praying with me? Now listen, only Jesus can open the door to the Father. But Mary, in her role, carries us so that in Christ, on that day when he was presented, he would open the door for us. Today, Mother Mary says, don't think so much about me today. I want you to think about your Heavenly Father, and he loves you, and he cares about you. Your Heavenly Father is watching over you. He cares for you. Look to him. Love him. Grow in devotion and trust to him. That's what Mother Mary says to us today, and that's also what Mother Church says to us in these readings. So let's take a look at a couple of things in the readings about our Heavenly Father. And it's a beautiful reflection to make at the beginning of a new year. Because I don't know about you, but the only thing that's going to get me through this year is trust. I've got to learn to trust God. I just know that there are things ahead, joys ahead, and wonderful things ahead, and there will also be challenges in this year. I'm not just talking for myself. You have the same thing. Amen? We got to trust God. And the readings today are a beautiful meditation on how much God the Father loves us and wants to bless us. So let's start with the first reading today from the book of Numbers in the 6th chapter. And I'm going to talk about, first of all, the foundation of our blessing. How many of you know that you've got a blessing? How many of you know that God is a giver of blessings? So the first thing we want to look at today is the foundation of our blessing. Now listen to what the Lord said. He's speaking to Moses, and he says, Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons. Now, who was Aaron? Aaron was the high priest, and his sons were the Levites, and they are the priests of Israel. All right, so he says, God says, I want you, Moses, to talk to Aaron. Speak to them and say, this is how you shall bless the Israelites. And then he gives the great, beautiful prayer of blessing, something called the Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you his peace. Now, we're going to look at that prayer in a little more detail in a minute, but that's a beautiful prayer, amen? That is a prayer that at the end of Mass today, I am privileged as a son of Aaron, because I'm a priest. I'm privileged to give this blessing to you later on today at the end of Mass. And I hope you'll prepare yourselves for it, because when God blesses, when God blesses, you're blessed. Now, but listen to this. After giving those prayers, those words of blessing, here's what God says. And this is the foundation of our blessing. Thus shall the priest invoke my name upon the people, and I will bless them. I will bless my people. What is the foundation of blessing? It is simply this, brothers and sisters. God wants to bless you. God desires to bless you. God wants to pour out his gifts on you. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You see, we want to be careful, because all blessing comes from God. It comes from his love and his will to bless us. We got to be careful, because sometimes people get it wrong. They think of God like a vending machine. And you press the combination and the candy falls and you get it out. The power of blessing isn't in the eloquence of the words. It isn't that you use the right formulas. In the name of Jesus. No, we sometimes want to turn God into a machine. And in the Catholic version is, if you say the following prayer for 9 days and leave something in the church that tells everyone else to do it, your blessing will pop out. That is not the foundation of our blessing. The foundation of our blessing is that God loves us and God wants to bless us. Now here comes the other aspect of it. God will bless you in the way that's best. Sometimes we want him to bless us and we say, God, give me A. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'll give you B. But I want you to know, you may not know how now, but it is the best blessing. You see, again, God will bless us. God wants to bless us. The foundation of every blessing. I am asked dozens of times a week to bless articles, to bless people. I'm asked to give many, many blessings every week. And all I know is that when I'm asked to bless, stuff happens. And it happens not because I'm eloquent. It doesn't happen because the person who asked me is so good. It all happens because God wants to bless. And God is joyful. When someone says, please, Lord, bless me. Oh, yes, says the Lord, I want to bless you. Now, again, you got to leave it up to God to know what's the best blessing. Sometimes we ask for stuff and God says, you don't know what you're asking. Oh, yes, Lord, I know exactly what I'm asking. No, you don't know what you're asking. But listen, I've got a blessing for you, and it's going to be the best blessing. So again, the first thing I want you to notice is the foundation of our blessing. Tell Aaron, says the Lord to Moses, tell him, get the priests together. I want to bless my people, and here's what I want them to say. And when they say that blessing, I will bless my people. He wants to bless you. God is delighted when you ask. God is happy. He's thrilled. Because God said, oh, I have a blessing. And I'm so glad you asked. All right, the first thing. Now, not only the foundation then of our blessings, but let's take a look at some of the fundamentals of our blessing. Let's look at that prayer of blessing. Beautiful prayer. Again, the Lord bless you and keep you. Let's look at those words right now. The Lord bless you. The Hebrew word for bless is berakah. And berakah, blessing can mean a couple of things. First of all, the first blessing we all need is to be sanctified. God wants to, first of all, bless us by making us holy. Making us holy. God wants to get us ready to meet him. And you know what? The book of Hebrews says it pretty plain. It says that we've got to have that holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Book of Hebrews is plain on that. And so you see, we got to say, but how can I ever get enough holiness to go into God's presence? You can't. I said, you can't. Only God can get you ready. So the first thing when we talk about the Lord bless you, the Lord says, I want to sanctify you. I want to make you holy. And brothers and sisters, I've been praying every day of my life for the last 27 years. And I want you to know when those prayers go up, the blessings come down, and I'm seeing greater holiness in my life. You say, preacher, you still got a long way to go. And I said, I know, I do. But I'll say this, God's been good to me. I'm seeing sins put to death. I'm seeing graces come alive. I'm seeing the good things that need to happen increase and the bad things that need to go away decrease. God is sanctifying me. He is pouring out a blessing. The first thing God wants to do in blessing us is to make us holy. And then the second thing, we look at the roots of this word and of blessing, barakah, and it means fundamentally the experience of being favored by God. Favored. You see, again, God loves you. He wants to show you his favor. Every now and again, maybe a dozen times a day, I get asked, just like you do, how you doing? And some of you have heard me say, frequently I'll answer like this. I'll say, I am more blessed than I deserve. Or some of us will say, I am blessed and highly favored. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. God wants to show you his favor. And when the text says the Lord bless you, it's as though the Lord were saying, look, I want you to experience my favor, my graciousness, my love. So the Lord first says to Aaron, to the priest, say to the people, the Lord bless you. In other words, the Lord sanctify you, and the Lord let you experience his favor, his love, his mercy, his grace. Now the text goes on to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Hebrew word there is shamar. Shamar. Which means not just to keep as though like you keep some change in a jar, but to keep you in the sense of to guard, to protect, to put a hedge of protection around. And so the text is saying, Lord, keep me, guard me, watch me. And all of us are gathered in this church today. You know, we may not know what the future holds. Just make sure you know the one who holds the future. And he does. And church, he already knows everything that'll happen to you and me this year. And you know what? He's already provided. He's looking ahead. He's guarding. He's keeping watch. He's putting a hedge of protection. There will be challenges. And there is a mystery. Sometimes we might say, is God keeping an eye out? What happened? You know, sometimes we don't always understand all the trials that we go through. And God permits them for a season and for a reason. He does permit them. But church, he has already gone ahead and prepared the way. I don't always understand the things we have to go through. But I do know this. And you think about this for a minute. Think of all the trials you've been through. Think of your struggles. And look at yourself. They have not destroyed you. And even one day, and I can't even guarantee you that all of us will be here next year at this time. This may be the year that that old friend death comes to visit. I don't know, but I know this, that even when that happens, God's going to shepherd me through and carry me across. Nothing will overwhelm or destroy me if I hold to God's unchanging hand. He will guard and keep us. There will be those times where we say, wait a minute, what's the deal? Trust him. He's already provided and given the strength to endure. So it is that the Lord bless you. May you experience his holiness. May you experience his favor. And may you experience how he watches you, guards you, keeps you, and prepares you for every challenge. The Lord is preparing me right now for something I can't handle. But in the day it comes, I'll be able to handle it. Amen? Amen. So it is that We see then, again, first of all, that the Lord will bless us, it'll keep us. And then here we come to what I think is the most beautiful part of the prayer. The text says, the Lord let his face shine upon you. Now, what does it mean to have God allow his face to shine upon us? Brothers and sisters, pay attention. This is a very precious gift. To have the Father's face shine upon us means that we come to know the Father. We come to know him. I don't mean intellectually. I mean experientially. We come to know the Father. It means to have him come and show himself to us. And when the Father's face shines on us like this, we'll never be the same again. If you have never experienced the Father's face shining upon you, beg for it. Beg for it. Say, please, Daddy God, I'm telling you right now, and I've experienced it. I'm going to tell you, when I began to experience the Father's face shining on me some 14 years ago, I tell you, I was never the same. Never the same again. To grow in the great love of his graciousness, of his favor, I began to know, not just intellectually, but experientially, to know that I was loved, that I was cherished, that my Father loves me, that he keeps me, he cares for me, that every aspect of my life is somehow prepared by him in love. Oh, church, let God's love just wash over you. Let God's love just light up your room as his face, his glorious, loving, merciful face shines upon you. God the Father loves you with a love beyond all telling. Now, I'll be honest with you, I had to make a journey to get there. You know, I struggled with my earthly father. My earthly father was a good man, but he was a man to be dealt with. And I, in some sense, I was afraid of my earthly father. And then someone told me, God is your father. God is your heavenly father. I said, uh-oh. Right? Some of us have that struggle. The Lord finally took care of that for me. And it wasn't anything I did. It was a pure act of his mercy that he let his face shine on me. And I began to experience his love, his appreciation, his sanctification. I began to experience the deep and abiding love and grace and mercy of God the Father for me, completely undeserved, just because God is love. And that's what love does. It loves. And God is love. I ask you, if you have not experienced this, and if you're struggling, you know, to a lot of people, the Father seems like a distant figure, kind of a stranger up there. He's running the universe, and somehow, theoretically, he loves me. That's not enough. That is not what Jesus died to give you. Jesus died to give you a deep and an abiding love for his Father like he has. And we'll look at that in a minute. Church, today, Mother Mary is carrying us, I said carrying us, presenting us to the Father for a covenant relationship, and the Father's love is shining upon us right now. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Do you begin to see how that peace is the result of all these other things I've been talking about? What is peace? Peace is the experience, not just the intellectual knowledge. Peace is the experience that everything is all right. You say, wait a minute, I got a few things going on, preacher. But in the depths of your heart, God can give you a peace that the world didn't give you and the world can't take away. He can give you a peace that abides in you. And there may be some trouble on the surface, and it may distract you for a moment, but you're always able to go back to that place where there is shalom, where everything is all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right. I just know it is all right. Why? Because I've got a Daddy God who loves me. I've got a Lord who wants to bless me, who wants to guard and keep me, who wants to let his face shine upon me, I've got a God who's got my back. And because of that, I have peace. And here too, I can only testify. I can just say to you that the more that I've come to really love my Heavenly Father and experience His love for me, so many of the things that I was anxious about and fearful about, so many of those things just went away. They're just gone. I won't tell you I never get anxious, but I don't get anxious that often anymore. God's been good to me. Again, brothers and sisters, what a beautiful way to meditate on the first day of the year. Amen? Well, I just got one more thing I want to tell you. And it's simply not only the, if you will, the foundation of our blessing, that God desires and wants to bless us, not only the, if you will, some of the fundamentals of our blessing that we just went through, but finally the fullness of our blessing. Listen to what St. Paul says in the reading today from Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that we might receive our status as adopted sons, adopted daughters. And here comes the line, as proof that you are an adopted son or daughter of God. You say, how do I know I'm adopted? St. Paul says, I'm going to give you the proof. As proof that you are adopted sons and daughters, God sent forth His Spirit into our hearts that cries out, Abba! Abba! Now, you say, is that proof? What is that? I'll tell you, for me, it's proof. Because, brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ died to give you and me the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit begins to enter into us, we begin to experience that I am a son of God, I am a daughter of God, I am beloved of God, and our spirit begins to cry out, Abba! Now, the word Abba is not baby talk. It is not da-da. It's not that. It is, though, the family word for father, the family word. Now, we can speak of a father in a formal sense. So, for example, when my father was alive, I could introduce him to you. This is Charles Pope Sr., my father. But I would never pick up the phone when he was living and say, hello, father. How are you today, father? I would say, Dad, Dad. And I'm an adult talking to my adult father. It's the family word. You got it? Abba means that I begin to experience a deep and an abiding affection for God. Now listen, what it means then to call God Abba is not to say a word. You could teach a parrot to say the word, right? Abba. It's not saying the word, it's experiencing the reality. And what is the reality? Here it is, that I love the Father with all my heart. That I experience that He is my Papa, my Daddy, my Heavenly Father who loves me. It means that I have not just a human affection for God, but I have a divine affection. Why? Because Christ, through His Holy Spirit, is transforming my heart into the likeness of His heart. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus love the Father? He was crazy about Him. He was always talking about Him and talking to Him and praying and calling upon Him and saying, my Father, my Father, my Father, teaching us, always talking about His Father. Talking about His kingdom. Jesus Christ was crazy about His Father. He loved Him with all His heart, with a purity, a love, a tenderness. Oh, church, the gift to seek today is the gift of the Holy Spirit that says, take my heart and so change it that I just have a tender, abiding affection for my Father. You see, again, God loves us so much, and to begin to experience that love and to be able to return it to Him with a deep, deep love, a tender love, a family love, that is what it means to call God Abba. And that's the gift that Jesus Christ died to give us. Are you praying with me? Okay. It's been a long one, so I need to end. But remember, where do we begin? Mother Mary, carrying Christ in her arms. And as she carries Christ, she's carrying you and me, because we, through baptism, are in Christ and are a member of his body. And she, like every good Jewish mother, brings her children, brings her son Jesus for that operation that was called circumcision. But the point is to put him in covenant relationship. He didn't need it, but you and I in him, we need it. And she's carrying us today, and she's saying, look to your Father. He loves you. Look to him. Learn to love him. Let my son Jesus open the door for you. Let him send his Holy Spirit so that you love the Father with all your heart. Church, so much begins to happen when we experience this love and can give it back to the Father. Fears begin to go away, and trust gets multiplied exponentially. Anyone got anxieties about this year? Of course, we all have natural apprehension. What will happen in the year ahead? Who knows? But God does. And at some level, that's enough. That's just enough. Whatever betide, my Heavenly Father is watching over me. Church, God is faithful. God is faithful, and he's one who blesses. He's someone who loves, and he wants to bless us. And at the beginning of this new year, I'm glad you come to get your blessing. I'm glad you come to let the Lord pour out, open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. We all need this blessing at the beginning of a new year. And I pray that you will not only intellectually know that you got a blessing, but that you will experience that you got a blessing. It's a good place to be with our Mother Mary at the beginning of a new year, and it's a good place to let her lead us more perfectly today to the Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Amen. Amen.